himself of the memory. Why? He pauses mid-rub.
Because I couldn't get to you.
He says it like I'm stupid. He must catch my look of confusion because he moves his fingers to his forehead and rests his elbows on the table.
The thought of not being able to reach you actually made me panic.
I was in the room, I blurt a bit too loudly. I take a quick glance around to make sure I've not drawn any attention from the posh clientele. He scowls at me.
You weren't in the room when you left.
I lean across the table. I left because you threatened me. This is most definitely not a conversation for the plushness of the Ritz.
Well, that's because you made me crazy mad.
He widens his eyes at me.
When did you get those handcuffs?
He asks accusingly, as his palms hit the table, the bang silencing the other diners surrounding us. I sit back in my throne and wait for them to continue with their conversation.
When I left work yesterday, you kind of pissed all over my plan with your retribution, fuck,
I grumble moodily.
Watch your mouth. I pissed on your plan,
he asks incredulously.
Ava, let me tell you, nowhere in my plan was it written that you would have me restrained at your mercy. So it is you who pissed all over my plan.
We both cease all speaking of plans, retribution fucks, and handcuffs when the waiter approaches with our food. He places it in front of me first, and then Jesse, swiveling the plates around so the presentation, which looks more like art, is at its best position for us to admire before we attack it with our knife and fork. I smile my thanks.
Is that all, sir? The waiter asks Jesse.
Yes, thank you. The waiter removes himself from the table and leaves us to resume our inappropriate conversation. I sink my knife into my dish. It looks too good to eat. You should know your temptress is extremely pleased with herself, I say thoughtfully, as I wrap my lips around the most delicious piece of granary toast, topped with smoked salmon and hollandaise sauce.
I bet she is.
He raises his eyebrows.
Does she know how crazy in love with her I am?
I melt on a sigh. I'm in the Ritz, eating the most incredible food and looking across the table at the most devastatingly handsome man I've ever laid eyes on. My devastatingly handsome man. All mine. I'm back to basking in the sun on central Jesse Cloud 9. I think she does. He turns his attention back to his dish.
She had better not just think.
She knows.
Good.
What's the problem anyway? I ask. 37 is nothing. His eyes flick back to mine. He looks almost embarrassed.
I don't know. You're in your mid-20s, and I'm in my late 30s.
So? I watch him closely. He really does have a complex about his age. It bothers you more than it does me.
Maybe.
He fights a smile from his lips. I can see he's relieved at my lack of concern. I shake my head, returning to my dish. My arrogant playboy has an insecurity, but I love him all the more for it. We eat in a comfortable silence, the waiter checking if everything is to our satisfaction at regular intervals. When we're done, he clears our plate swiftly, and Jesse asks for the bill.
So, when are we going dress shopping, then?
He asks before taking a sip of his coffee. I can't prevent the long, exasperated breath of air escaping my mouth. I'd forgotten about that, and I know that if I defy him on this, I'll be promptly ejected from Central Jesse Cloud 9. I shrug. Friday lunch? His frown line jumps into position.
That's cutting it a bit fine, isn't it?
I'll find something. I finish the most scrumptious coffee I've ever had.
Put me in your diary for Friday afternoon. All afternoon.
What? I feel my brow knit.
He takes a wad of notes out of his pocket and puts 5 twenties in the leather-bound book that the waiter has just left. £100 for breakfast. That's my new dress. Make Mr. Ward a Friday afternoon appointment. Say 1-ish. His greens are dancing with delight. We'll go dress shopping, and there will be no rush to get ready for the party. I can't book out my whole afternoon for one appointment, I splutter in disbelief. Mr. Unreasonable is back. You can and you will. I'm paying him enough. He stands and makes his way to my side of the table. You need to tell Patrick that you're living with me. I'm not pussyfooting around him for much longer. I stand, taking the hand he has offered, and let him lead me out of the restaurant. No, he won't be pussyfooting around. He'll just keep trampling him instead. It will make things awkward, I try to reason. He won't be impressed, Jesse, and I don't want him to think that I'm slacking instead of working if I should have any business meetings with you. I couldn't give a fuck what he thinks. If he doesn't like it, then you'll retire, he says, marching on, dragging me behind him. Retire? I love my job, and I love Patrick, too. You're going to trample him, aren't you? I say warily. My man is like a rhinoceros. The valet hands him his car keys, and Jesse slips him a 50. A 50? Just for parking and returning his car? Granted, it is a very nice car, but still. He turns into me, grazes his palm down my cheek, and circles his nose on mine. Are we friends? His minty freshness hits me like a bulldozer. Yes, I submit. But judging by the last few minutes' conversation, I don't expect we will be for long. Thank you for breakfast. He smiles. Any time. Where are you going now? The Royal Park. Near Lancaster Gate. I'll take you. He presses his lips hard onto mine and pushes his hips gently forward. I gasp. He can't thrust me outside the Ritz. I hear him laugh at my shock before he pulls me toward his car. The valet opens the door for me, and I smile sweetly before climbing in. After Jesse has slid in behind the wheel and given my knee a quick squeeze, he roars off into the mid-morning London traffic at his usual alarming speed. What am I going to tell Patrick? I turn and look at him. Oh, he's so handsome. What? About us? He flicks his eyes to me. His frown line is firmly in place. No, about our business breakfast. What have we discussed? He shrugs. Tell him we've agreed fees, and that I want you at the manor on Friday to finalize the designs. You make it sound so simple, I sigh, sitting back in my seat and looking across the parks. He places his hand on my knee and squeezes. Baby, you make it sound so complicated. Jesse screeches up outside the Royal Park and waves a delighted-looking valet away when he approaches to collect the car. I'll see you at home. He wraps his palm around the back of my neck and yanks me over to him, taking his time to say his goodbye. I let him, with no concern for the valet standing close by, staring longingly at the DBS. 6-ish, I confirm as he kisses the corner of my mouth. He grins. Ish. I know it's not the right time to approach the subject, but it's going to eat away at me for the rest of the day. He can't be serious, surely. I can't retire at 26. He sits back in his seat, the stupid sodding cogs kicking into action. It worries me instantly. He is serious. I told you, I don't like sharing you. That's stupid, I blurt, which was obviously wrong, judging by the scowl that has just flashed across his face. Don't call me stupid, Ava. I wasn't calling you stupid. I was calling your ambitious intentions stupid, I argue quietly. I'm never going to leave you. I reach over and slide my hand across the back of his neck. Does he need reassurance on this? His lip disappears between his teeth as he stares at the steering wheel of the DBS. That doesn't stop people from trying to take you. I can't let that happen. He turns tortured eyes onto me. It punches a massive hole in my stomach.
What people?
He shakes his head. No specific people. I don't deserve you, Ava, but by some fucking miracle I've got you. I'll protect you fiercely. Eliminate any threat. His hands slide over the steering wheel, his knuckles turning white from his harsh grip. Okay, we need to stop talking about this, because I'm feeling a bit violent. I sit and look across at my beautiful neurotic control freak, and wish I could give him the reassurance that he needs. My words won't ever work. I'm beginning to realize that now. I undo my belt and crawl across the car to straddle his lap. Sod the valet. I pull Jesse's face up to mine, cupping his cheeks and lowering my lips to his. He moans and slides his hands around to clench my bum and pulls me in toward his hips. I want him to take me back to Luso right now, but I can't brush off Michael. Our tongues slowly sweep together, rolling, pulling back and plunging again, time and time again. I ache with need for this man. Painful, constant aching, and I know he feels exactly the same about me. I pull back and find his eyes clenched shut. I've seen that look before, and the last time I saw it, it was because he had something to tell me. What's wrong? His eyes fly open quickly. Nothing's wrong. He brushes away a loose tendril of my hair. Everything is right. I stiffen in his lap. He said that before, too, and everything really wasn't right. You have something you want to tell me? You're right, I do. His head drops, and I feel sick, stomach-churning sick, but then his eyes lift again and find mine. I crazy love you, baby. I recoil slightly. That's not what you want to tell me. He reduces me to a pool of steam on his lap when he blasts me with his smile, reserved only for women. Yes, it is. And I'll keep telling you until you get fed up of hearing it. It's a novelty to me. He shrugs. I like saying it. I won't get fed up of hearing it. And don't be saying it to anyone else. I don't care how much you like saying it. He grins, a real boyish, cheeky grin. Would that make you jealous? I scoff. Mr. Ward, let's not talk about jealousy when you've just vowed to eliminate any threat. Okay, let's not. He pulls me in and rolls his hips upward, unearthing a wicked beat at my very center. Let's get a room instead, he whispers, flicking those damned delectable hips up once more. I frantically scramble out of his lap, eager to escape that mind-melting touch before I rip his suit off here and now. I'm going to be late for my meeting. I grab my bag and press my lips briefly on his. I need you waiting in bed when I get home. He smiles a satisfied smile. Are you making demands, Miss O'Shea? Are you going to deny me, Mr. Ward? Never. But you do remember who has the power, don't you? He makes a grab for me, but I bat his hands away quickly, jumping out of the car before he completely swallows me up. I pop my head back in. You do, but I need you. So could you please be naked and waiting? You need me? He asks, a triumphant look on his face. Always. See you at yours. I shut the door, hearing him yell, "Hours," as I walk off. I'm aware of eyes drilling into me, and I turn to find the valet with the biggest grin on his face. I blush profusely and scuttle up the steps into the hotel. I'm shown to the same snug where Michael and I last met, and Michael is already waiting for me. He has the mood boards laid out on the table and is studying them. He looks more casual today, his suit jacket removed, his tie loose, but his pale blonde hair still perfectly styled. He looks up when I walk in. Ava, very good to see you again. His slightly accented voice is as smooth as ever. And you, Michael? You received the drafts. I nod at the boards as I set my bag down on one of the large green leather couches.
Yes, but the problem is I love them all. You're too good.
He puts his hand out and I take it. I'm glad, I smile brightly. He releases me and turns back toward the table.
I'm veering toward this one, though.
He points to the cream and white scheme that I'm favoring myself. That would be my choice, too. I think it encapsulates your aspiration best.
It does, he agrees, smiling warmly at me. Take a seat, Ava. Would you like a drink?
I perch on a sofa. A water would be good, thank you. He signals to the waiter at the doorway before lowering himself onto the sofa next to me.
I apologize for the hold-up on our meeting.
Things didn't go as swiftly as I planned back home. That would be his divorce, then. I can't imagine things would go smoothly when you're as rich as Michael. His wife is probably trying to take him for every penny. I don't say anything, though. I suspect Ingrid shouldn't have divulged as much as she did, and I don't want to get her sacked.
That's not a problem, really.
I smile and return my eyes to the mood boards. So we're swinging toward this one, then? I place my hand on the cream and white scheme. He shifts forward.
Yes, I like the simplicity and warmness. You are very clever. One would think it would come across insipid and cold, but it doesn't at all.
Thank you. It's all about the fabrics and tones. He smiles, his blue eyes shimmering.
Yes, I guess it is.
We spend a few hours discussing the time frames, schedules, and budgets. He is really quite easy to be around, which is a huge relief. After rejecting his dinner invitation, I was worried things would be awkward, but he took my answer on the chin and has said no more.
It will all be sustainable materials, yes?
He runs his finger across the drawing of a large four-poster bed I've sketched. Of course. I indicate the many items of other furniture. I understand the Forestry Commission in Scandinavia is serious business.
It is, he laughs. We all have to do our bit for the environment. We got a little bad press after Luso.
My mind's eyes flooded with images of 12 superbikes and a petrol-guzzling DBS. We do, I agree. After a bit more discussion, I excuse myself to use the ladies. I'm pleased with how the meeting is progressing, and I'm eager to get back to the office to start working on the master design. Standing in front of the mirror, I ruffle my hair, pinch my cheeks, and then exit the ladies, walking across the lobby of the hotel and back to the snug. But my positive mood is soon trampled all over when I enter the room and nearly choke on thin air. What the fucking hell is he doing here? Chapter 12. Jesse is standing next to Michael, bold as bloody brass, looking over my designs. Oh, he's gone too far this time. He's going to trample my business meeting. Oh, God, he is going to trample Michael, and he doesn't even know that he's previously asked me to dinner. I'm at a loss as I stand and watch them chat, all business-like, while I try to figure out how to handle this. As per my usual reaction to Jesse's wayward ways, I want to scream at him, but with Michael here, that's out of the question. As if he has sensed my presence, he always does,
Jesse turns to face me. I flash him a "you're pushing it" look and slowly approach them.
"Michael," I say, muscling my way between them at the table. I feel Jesse tense from head to toe at my informal acknowledgement to my client. "He can go and take a leap off the nearest cliff. The man deserves everything he gets. And he wants me to move in? He can forget it, and there will be no sense-fucking to change my mind either."
Michael smiles at me. I don't miss the arched brow.
"Ava, let me introduce you. This is Jesse Ward. He bought the penthouse at Luso. I was showing Mr. Ward your designs. He's as impressed as I am."
"That's nice," I say without even acknowledging Jesse, turning my back on him to face my client instead. "Should we schedule our next meeting now?" I feel ice-cold air emanate from Jesse.
"Yes, that would be good," Michael says. "Does Friday afternoon suit? We can meet at Life and get a rough idea on quantities. Maybe I could buy you lunch?"
His eyebrows rise suggestively, and while I know I shouldn't be encouraging this sort of behavior, I just can't help myself. "Friday afternoon suits me fine, and lunch would be lovely," I smile, but then feel Jesse's warm, minty breath on the back of my neck. He's standing pretty damn close for someone who supposedly doesn't know me.
"I'm sorry to interrupt," Jesse pipes up.
Oh, God, he's going to trample Michael. He grasps my shoulders, and I watch as Michael frowns in confusion. He slowly turns me around until my stunned face is looking up at him.
"Baby, have you forgotten that I'm taking you shopping?"
Oh, fucking hell. He really doesn't have any regard or shame. Michael is going to be calling Patrick to complain, then Patrick is going to find out about Jesse, and I'm going to get sacked. I can't even find the strength to fire him a disgusted look as he looks down at my dumbstruck face, his eyes twinkling.
"I didn't realize you knew each other," Michael says, clearly confused.
We've just been introduced, and neither one of us informed Michael that we're already acquainted.
We are so much more than acquainted.
Jesse knocks Michael out with a killer smile. "I was in the area, and I knew the love of my life was here." He shrugs. "I thought I would slip in and get my fix. I'm not going to see her for another 4 hours." He bends down and brushes his lips over my ear.
"I missed you," he whispers.
He turns me around so I'm facing Michael and pulls my back to his chest, wrapping his arm around the tops of my shoulders and kissing my temple. This is so unprofessional. I want to die on the spot. I look up at Michael and find him observing Jesse's little trampling session thoughtfully.
"I'm sorry, when you mentioned you were here to meet your girlfriend, I didn't realize you were referring to Ava," Michael says coolly.
"Yes, isn't she beautiful?"
He presses his lips to my temple again and inhales in my hair.
"And all mine," he adds quietly, but loud enough for Michael to hear.
I feel my face getting hotter by the second, my eyes darting everywhere except in Michael's direction. Is he trying to eliminate Michael? He's a client, not a threat. Not that Jesse knows of, anyway. God help me if he finds out about my dinner invitation. My eyes land briefly on Michael. He's watching me carefully. I feel so uncomfortable.
"Mr. Ward, if I had an Ava, I've no doubt I would do exactly the same."
He flashes me a smile, and I feel my face burning up further.
"Perhaps Monday would be more suitable."
I find my voice. "Of course, Monday will be fine." I try to subtly wriggle free of Jesse, but he has a firm hold of me, and I know that even the whole British army would struggle to get me from his arms. Michael puts his hand out to me.
"I'll call you to arrange a time
once I've checked my diary. I take his offering. I'm ending an important business meeting with a very important client, and I'm completely coated in my neurotic possessive control freak. I'm mortified. I look forward to it, I say enthusiastically, earning myself a sharp little nudge in my back. Is he winding me up? Michael exits the snug, and I notice him glancing over his shoulder as he leaves. I just about capture the thoughtful look on his pale face, and I can't help but think that Jesse has just set a challenge for him. I could collapse with exasperation. I can't believe you just did that, I say quietly as I stare at nothing in particular. You've just trampled my most important client. I'm swung around in his arms to find his face level with mine as he bends to accommodate the height difference between us. Who is your most important client? He asks on a heavy, furrowed brow. I roll my eyes. You're my lover, who happens to be a client. I'm more than your lover. I look at the panicked face close to mine and curse myself for wanting to head straight to the hotel bar and down a large glass of wine. No, actually, make that a bottle. I exhale in complete despair. I need to get back to work. I turn away, but feel his hand clamp around my wrist, the usual heat his touch instigates ever present. Jesse walks around so he's in front of me, keeping hold of my wrist. You encouraged him on purpose, he shoots accusingly. Yes, I did. Just like he rocked up to the Royal Park on purpose to hijack my meeting, and for what? I look up at him through the fog of tears glazing my eyes. Why? I ask. It's a simple question. Because I love you, he says quietly. That's not a reason. My tone suggests I'm completely defeated, which is fine because I am. His head snaps up in shock, and he pins me in place with his appalled glare. Yes, it is. And anyway, he's a known womanizer. Okay. Now he's just making up excuses to justify his unreasonable behavior. If he loves me, then he should support me in my work, not try to sabotage it. You can't hijack every meeting I have with a male client, I say tiredly, with no faith in my attempt to reason with him. I won't. Just him. And any other man who may be a threat. I want to throw my head back and scream at the heavens. Jesse sees every man as a threat. I have to go. I try and regain possession of my body, but he refuses to release me. I'll take you, he informs me, reluctantly releasing my wrist. Collect your things. He walks over to the table and starts scooping up my mood boards. These are really very good. I can't join him in his enthusiasm. I feel despondent and flat. I can see my dream career flushing down the pan before my very eyes. And worst of all, there is the little niggling fear that I will push him to get steaming drunk if I don't comply with his unreasonableness. How can I go from being so immensely elated to so incredibly defeated, all in such a short space of time? Jesse drops me off at the corner of Berkeley Square at my request, so I'm not spotted by Patrick getting out of Mr. Ward's car nearly 4 hours after I went for a breakfast meeting with him. I need to think about how I'm going to break this to Patrick, and I pray on all things holy that Michael doesn't tell him first. This needs to be handled with care. I give Jesse a chaste kiss on the cheek and leave him watching me, his bottom lip getting a grueling chew as I drag myself from his car. I say nothing, and neither does he. You've been a wildflower, Patrick says, as I settle at my desk. Michael and I had a lot to go through. It's looking good, I offer by way of explanation. It seems to do the trick. He smiles instantly.
He is happy?
Very, I confirm, and that broadens Patrick's smile by a few more inches.
Wonderful,
he exclaims, retreating to his office, looking delighted. I open my email and hear the office door open. Looking up, I see a massive bunch of calla lilies floating toward me. Really? I left him 5 minutes ago. They land on my desk, and the young girl sighs. I don't know why he doesn't just buy you the shop. Sign here, please. She thrusts the clipboard under my nose, and I scribble my name. Thanks. I hand her back the clipboard and find the card. I'm sorry, Ish. J. X. I fall back in my chair. What he means is, he's sorry because he knows that he has upset me, but he's not at all sorry for trampling Michael or my day. Maybe I should stay at Kate's tonight. I could do with some time, a big bottle of wine, my own thoughts and no distractions. The office door swings open again, and I look up to see Ruth Quinn beaming at me. Why is she here? I only spoke to her this morning. Her blonde hair is shining and bouncing as she struts to my desk, waving excitedly. Ava! She sings. Ruth! I frown, but she doesn't seem to notice my confusion. I was just in the area, and I thought I'd drop by. She places her neat, slender body on a chair in front of my desk. Oh, I say, looking at her to continue. Yes, she smiles, but doesn't elaborate. I glance at the clock. It's not even 3 o'clock. I've got another 3 hours to get her designs over by email. Was there something you wanted to add to the specification? I ask. No, not at all. I'm sure I'll love the designs. I'm not sure what to say. She's dropped by for nothing? No reason? Are you okay, Ava? Her smile fades a little. I shake myself up. Yes, I'm fine. I force a happy face. I'm not fine, but I want to mood over it in peace, not make pointless conversation with a client. I've prepped everything, Ruth. I'll get it across to you before the day's out. I know I've already told her this on the telephone, but what else can I say? Should I offer her a coffee? Lovely. She strokes her hair and then flicks it over her shoulder. Are you doing anything nice this weekend? Now I really am frowning. She's not a clinger-on, is she? I'm not sure. We should have drinks. I inwardly groan. She wants to be friends. Never mix business with pleasure. My new rule applies to female clients, too. What should I say? Sure. The word slips past my lips and stuns me. I don't want to have drinks with Ruth. Are you sure you're okay? Yes, I'm fine. I try to smile. Man trouble. Her fair, precisely plucked eyebrow rises. No, I shake my head. Ava, I know a woman in turmoil when I see one, she laughs. Been there, done that. Honestly, Ruth, there is no man. I need Kate for this line of conversation, not a client. Wine and Kate. She gives me a knowing smile and stands. They're not worth the trouble. I return her smile, but only because I'm pleased that she appears to be leaving. I'll get your designs over soon, Ruth. Can't wait. We'll talk soon, about drinks. She breezes out of the office, leaving me the turmoil she knows I'm in. At the end of the day, I don't go to Kate's. I leave the office, and I'm pulled toward St. Catherine Docks by the magnet that is the lord of the sex manor. I said I wouldn't leave him, and I need these mounting questions answered like this mystery woman.
Evening, Ava.
Hello, Clive. Can I speak to security, please?
They're all off site at the moment.
He diverts his attention to his computer, his way of halting this conversation from going any further, his way of dodging me.
Right, I sigh, carrying on to the elevator.
When the doors open to the penthouse, I let myself in with my pink key and head straight for the kitchen, kicking my shoes off and looking for wine that I know won't be there before finding a vase to put my flowers in. I remember the bunch upstairs that I hastily dumped on the chest in favor of delivering one truth fuck, so I take the stairs tiredly and enter the master suite to retrieve them. Oh, dear. My new Diamante embellished vibrator is in a million pieces all over the far end of the bedroom floor, and there's a hole in the wall opposite the bed. The bedroom is vast, so he must have lobbed it with some force. I'm suddenly thinking that leaving before he got free was a decision well made. I look across the room to the bed and see the handcuffs still dangling from the headboard, mental images of Jesse flying into a rage instantly starting to assault my brain. This man has issues. Big, unreasonable bloody issues with control, with me. I kneel and collect up all of the pieces, taking them to the bathroom and depositing them in the bin before I start running a bath. Picking up the calla lilies that are in desperate need of some water, I make my way back downstairs. I get halfway down and hear the front door shut quietly, and I'm halted in my tracks as I watch Jesse come into view. He stops at the bottom of the stairs and looks up at me, his handsome face expressionless, and his usually bright eyes a little glazed. He removes his suit jacket and reaches up, undoing his shirt button slowly as he watches me. He drops his shirt to the floor to join his jacket, then kicks off his shoes, socks, trousers, and boxers. My eyes are pulled to the red marks around his wrists when he removes his Rolex and throws it on top of his pile of clothes. I'm never handcuffing him again. "You're not laying a finger on me until you tell me who that woman was." This might take all of my strength, especially if he starts the countdown, but I'm not backing down here. "I don't know." His face is completely expressionless. "So you've not asked Clive to stop me from looking at the CCTV?" He almost smiles. "My beautiful girl is ruthless. My God is evasive. Ava, if I didn't need you all over me right now, I'd be challenging you. But you do, so you'll tell me." "I slept with her." I'm not displaying surprise. That much I had already figured out. "So why was she here?"
"Because she heard I was missing." "That's it? She was worried?" He shrugs. "Yes, that's it. Now I get you all over me."
"Why didn't you just tell me this before?"
He shrugs. "Because it was no big deal until you made it one."
He starts up the stairs slowly, completely naked, and stunningly spectacular, and scoops me up without stopping, prompting me to drop the flowers and wrap myself around his body. "You made it a big deal by evading my questions."
He doesn't reply.
I want to rip strips off him for trampling my day. I want to stamp and scream in a temper, but I can't seem to find the strength or the inclination to do it. He talked, and now I just want him all over me, too. My mind is fuzzy, but my body is fizzing for him. He places me on my feet and starts slowly undressing me, watching his hands work over my clothes as I stand quietly and let him do his thing. I would have put my money on a retribution fuck after my performance this morning, but instead, I'm confronted with gentle, soft Jesse. I don't mind. I need soft and loving right now. Once we're both naked, He takes me down to the thick cream carpet and swathes me in his body, burying his face deep in my neck and breathing me into him. I mirror him and take my own hit of minty fresh water loveliness, wrapping my arms firmly around his back to pull him closer, eradicating any space that may have been between us. We lie on the floor in the middle of the bedroom and hold each other for the longest time, while I stare up at the ceiling and stroke his hair, taking all of my comfort from his strong heartbeat thudding against my chest. "I've missed you," he mumbles into my neck. I shudder when I feel his hot tongue running circles around the delicate flesh under my ear. We've been apart for less than 5 hours. I would say he was unreasonable, but I've missed him too. "Thank you for the flowers."
"You're welcome."
He kisses up to my lips, brushes my hair from my face, and gazes down at me.
"I want to drag you to a desert island and have you all to myself forever."
He drops a kiss on my lips and rolls us over so I'm straddling his hips. I can feel the evidence of his mood wedged between our bodies, and it triggers all of my usual desperate needs for him. My nipples pucker under his watchful eye, and his grin widens into his signature, melt-worthy smile, reserved only for women. I want it to be reserved only for me. An unreasonable pang of possessiveness assaults me.
"I fucking love you," he sighs.
"I know you do." I circle my palms over his chest and pinch his nipple.
"I love you too." "Even after today?"
"You mean after you stalked me all day?" He pouts playfully and shifts his arms under his head. I dribble as his muscles bunch and flex.
"I was worried about you."
I raise a mocking eyebrow at him.
"I was," he argues.
He wasn't worried about me at all. He had an unreasonable and unwarranted attack of possessiveness. You were over the top and stupidly possessive. My challenging man needs to relax.
He scoffs. "I'm not challenging."
"You're challenging and in denial."
His brow furrows. "What am I in denial about?"
"Being challenging and unreasonable. Your performance today was way off the scales."
I need to know he won't hijack every business meeting I have with a male client.
He said it would be only Michael, but then followed it up with, "and all other male threats." His idea of a threat is a million miles away from my idea of a threat. He's going to trample all of my male clients, I know it. My work diary is going to be padlocked, and so is my mouth. I'm not telling him anything.
He looks at me with a little scowl. "Michael would have made a move on you, and then I'd really have to trample him." I laugh lightly. He doesn't need to know that Michael has already made his move. I will be keeping that snippet of information to myself.
"Well, I think you made your point pretty clear. It was embarrassing."
"It was necessary," he mutters, and I roll my eyes, making a dramatic display of my exasperation.
"You should run more." "Oh, the bath!" I jump up and run into the bathroom.
"No, I need you more," he calls to my back.
"Don't you have me enough?" I flip the tap off, thinking he could never leave me a whole day without some kind of trampling session or intrusion on my working day. Would I want him to not interfere? I like the flowers and the messages. It's the tramples I have an issue with. If I refused to let him speak to me while I was at work, would he be tempted to have a drink to try and get through the day? Could I risk it? My relaxed brain begins to ache again. I make my way back into the bedroom, finding him still sprawled on the floor. He's just too delicious. I walk over and settle myself back on his hips.
"Have you enough?"
he asks.
"No, I don't.
I need you every second of the day, just like you need me. Constant contact.
He reaches up and pinches my nipple, and I jerk on top of him, catching a full-on rub from his erection. He gives me his roguish grin.
What if you couldn't have me all day? I ask.
There will be times in the future when he might actually be on a real business trip, or perhaps I will. His grin disappears instantly and is replaced with a glare pointed straight at me.
Are you going to try and stop me?
No, but there may be situations when you can't have instant access to me. I might be unobtainable.
A fleeting look of panic flies across his face, and his bottom lip disappears between his teeth.
Would you make a grab for the vodka?
There. I've said it.
He laughs, and I frown.
I promised you I will never have another drink.
I meant it, he says surely.
He sits up and rests his hands on my hips. I jerk and he smiles.
Bath. I want your wet, slippery skin all over mine.
Your confidence is commendable, I mumble sarcastically as I ease myself up and put my hand out to him.
He looks at me with narrowed eyes and reaches up to take my hand, yanking me forward and spinning me onto my back. He rests his big body all over me and drops his lips to mine in a long, lingering kiss.
It's all very easy because I have you. Unravel your knickers, lady.
Easy for him to say. I'm dealing with a neurotic madcap.
So tomorrow I'll be undisturbed all day?
He pulls his head back to look at me, chewing his lip again.
Lunch?
I'm meeting Kate for lunch.
He pouts.
Can't I come?
No, I state firmly.
I need time with Kate, to talk about him and his challenging ways.
I think you're being unreasonable.
I throw my head back on a laugh, but suddenly jerk and buck as he grabs my hip bone and squeezes.
Stop!
I screech.
No.
Please!
Tears jump into my eyes as I try to fight him off. I can't bear it.
Lunch, he says calmly, as he continues tickling me.
Absolutely not!
I cry through my uncontrollable laughter. This isn't fair. I'm not submitting. No way!
Maybe a sense fuck will do it.
He releases my hip, and I relax, trying to get my erratic breathing under control.
Jesse, I can't be with you every second of the day!
I try to reason.
If you give up work, you could be.
He's deadly serious. My eyes widen in disgust.
Never. I love my job.
Now who's being
Oh!
I lose my trail as he plunges deep into me.
Oh, God. Here comes the sense fuck. But what is he trying to get me to submit to? Lunch or retiring?
He wastes no time breaking me in. He powers into me like a madman. My legs fall open and he pins my wrists on either side of my head.
Lunch?
He asks as he thrusts hard. My brain has just turned to mush, but it still registers that this is a lunch sense fuck. I'm relieved. Lunch will be easier to relent to, but I still don't plan on going down easily.
Mr. Challenging has a challenge on his hands.
No, I shout defiantly.
He growls and surges forward, his firmness stroking me hard and fast as he drives in and out like a wild animal.
You are so receptive to me.
I am. He lays one finger on me, and I'm all over the place.
Jesse, please.
He hits me hard with his hips and grinds firmly.
Baby, let me have lunch with you.
I shake my head, holding my breath.
Do I feel good?
Yes, I shout on a rushed exhale.
The crest of a booming orgasm descends on me, and his grip tightens around my wrists.
Say yes, he insists harshly, and I know he's on his way to explosion too.
What if I don't say yes?
What if I hold out on him?
No!
I'm not giving in. He can't fuck sense into me every time I don't agree to something. He hammers on, my thighs tensing, my mind knotted.
Ava, give me what I want.
Jesse!
You're going to come.
Yes!
I cry. All of the pent-up stress of the day is going to come rushing out at any moment.
Oh, fuck, baby. You do serious things to me.
He hits me with another powerful thundering of his hips. My mind goes blank, and I'm about to detonate, when he stops dead in his tracks, subsequently stopping my imminent orgasm dead in its tracks.
What are you doing?
I scream, completely stunned. I tilt my hips to try and get the friction I need to tip me over the edge, but he pulls his own hips back until he's only just inside me.
You bastard,
I spit. Watch your fucking mouth. Say yes, Ava, he pants, but his words are controlled. How is he doing this? I know he's ready to come.
No,
I affirm. He shakes his head and then locks eyes with me as he plunges, oh so slowly, and swivels his hips.
Oh,
I groan.
Faster!
Say the word, Ava.
He repeats the teasing move.
Say it, and you'll get what you want.
You don't play fair,
I complain.
You want me to stop?
No,
I shout in frustration. This is torture at its worst. He flexes his hold on my wrists.
I'll ask you one more time, baby. Lunch?
He flicks his hips forward as he asks, and I lose any determination I had to defy him.
Fuck me,
I cry as he looks down at me, amusement plaguing his expression.
Watch your mouth.
He's grinning.
Was that a yes?
Yes!
I scream.
Good girl, he praises, and then powers forward, hammering into me and tossing me straight back into a fast build-up to release.
I stiffen from head to toe. A sizzling hotness travels through my bloodstream, and my skin heats from the friction of being pushed across the carpet by his manic momentum.
Jesse!
I am gripped from every direction by stabbing shots of pleasure, flying through my nervous system, exploding at my core. I scream. His drives become more urgent, and his breathing loud and erratic as he smashes against me on carnal shouts and releases everything he has, my core muscles clenching greedily onto him, my limp, exhausted body completely helpless to his unforgiving blows. He collapses on top of me in a sweaty heap and rocks gently against me. My work here is done, he pants in my ear. I lie under his hard, warm body, trying to gather my senses and breath, and wonder if it will always be like this. He gets the results he wants, so yes, it probably will be. I've got to learn to deal with this. I've got to train myself to repel him. I laugh at such a pointless exercise. I don't want to repel him. He pushes himself up on his hands, and it's only now I notice he doesn't wince.
Your hand,
I cry. He lifts it up, and I can still see slight bruising, but the swelling has subsided massively.
It's fine. Sarah had me keep ice on it for most of the afternoon.
Sarah, I blurt without thinking about what tone I should use. It comes out accusingly. He frowns at me, and I hate myself for sounding so shocked.
She was just being a friend, he says coolly, but this only heightens my concern. Another woman looking after him doesn't sit well, and the fact that it's pouty lips really has my jealous streak racing to the surface.
I suddenly feel extremely uncomfortable with my possessiveness. Good God, I ridiculed Jesse for this. I'm a bloody hypocrite, and the way he's staring down at me, gauging my mood, isn't helping. He's a very desirable man, who assaults women with that fucking smile and has them in puddles at his feet. I wriggle underneath him to get free, and he obliges, letting me up on a frown. I head straight for the bathroom and immerse myself in the hot bath. I'm really not comfortable with these feelings. I've never been jealous in my life, and now I'm going to be fighting women off on a daily basis. That's a full-time job in itself. Maybe I will need to retire. Has someone got a touch of the green-eyed monster? I look up and see him standing in all of his naked glory by the bathroom doorway. No, I scoff. Couldn't be more obviously jealous if I tried. He walks over to the bath and steps in behind me, lowering his body until I'm cradled between his legs. He drapes his arms over my shoulders and pulls me back to rest on his chest. Ava, you are the only woman for me, he says softly in my ear, and I am all yours. He picks up the natural sponge from the edge of the bath, dips it to soak up some water, and then starts running it across my breasts. You need to tell me more about yourself. I feel his chest lift on a sigh. What do you want to know? Is the manner strictly business, or have you mixed it with pleasure? The sponge pauses between my breasts for a few seconds, but then he continues smoothing it over my body. Dive straight in, why don't you? He says dryly. Tell me, I press. He sighs so heavily, I almost turn around to glare at him, just so he knows I don't appreciate his bored reaction to my question. I've dabbled. Dabbled? I'm not sure I like the sound of dabbling, especially in this area of inquiry. Are you still dabbling? No. When was the last time you dabbled? His sponge strokes pause again. Please don't tell me he has to think about this. Way before I met you. He continues caressing me with a sponge. How long before you met me? I need to shut the hell up. I really don't want to know about this part of him, but I can't stop the stupid questions flying out. Ava, does it matter? Yes, I retort quickly. No, actually, it doesn't. But his short, huffy answer is prickling my curiosity. It wasn't regular. He's doing his best to avoid this. That didn't answer my question. Is anything I tell you going to change the way you feel about me? That question has me prickling further. What has he done? No, I say, but I'm not so sure now. He clearly thinks it will. So can we drop it? It's in my past, with a whole heap of other stuff, and I would rather leave it there. His tone is final. I feel slighted. There is only you. End of. He kisses the back of my head. When are we moving the rest of your stuff in? I inwardly groan. He fucked that sense into me as well. I notice all of this so-called sense he's fucking into me only makes sense to him. I'm here, I remind him. I've got to pick up the rest of my stuff from Matt. Did I really just say that out loud? No, you fucking won't, he shouts in my ear, and I recoil at his booming voice. I'll send John. I told you, you won't see him again. Right. I'm dropping this. I'm not going to get anywhere with it. I'm not stupid. I've already arranged my pickup anyway, and Jesse will never know. Well, he will, when I've got my stuff. But it will be too late for him to stop me by then. I think of something else. Tell me where you went when you disappeared on me. He tenses beneath me. No. He spits the word out fast. Okay, now I'm getting mad. I turn myself over to lie on his front, so he's forced to look me in the eyes. The last time you held back on me, I left you. His eyes widen slightly, but then narrow. He knows I've got him. I locked myself in my office.
For 4 days? I ask doubtfully.
Yes, for 4 days, Ava. He looks past me, refusing to meet my eyes. Look at me, I demand harshly. His eyes fly to mine in obvious shock at my order. Excuse me? He almost laughs. It's patronizing, and I don't appreciate it.
What were you doing in your office?
Drinking. That's what I was doing. I was trying to drown out thoughts and images of you with vodka. Are you happy now?
He tries to shift me from his body, but I tense from top to toe in an attempt to make myself a dead weight.
I fight with him, pushing his slippery body back down into the bath. He gives in and lets me. I know he could overpower me if he wanted to, so he doesn't really want to escape.
I slide my body up to his, so our noses meet.
I'm sorry, he whispers. I'm so sorry, baby.
Please don't be. I push myself into him, tackling his mouth, desperate for him to know that I couldn't care less. I feel responsible. Guilty.
When I saw those bruises on your arms, I realized I was in deep, Ava. Way too deep.
Shh. I hush him, covering his whole face with my mouth, kissing every square inch of him. Enough now. He cups my bum and pulls me up, burying his face between my breasts.
It won't happen again. I'll kill myself before hurting you again.
He doesn't have to use such strong words. I understand. He's regretful. I am too. I should never have walked away from him. I should have stayed, thrown him in a cold shower, and sobered him up.
I said enough, Jesse. I love you.
I know you do. I'm sorry, too.
He releases his hold, and I slide back down his body until we're eye to eye. What have you got to be sorry for?
I shrug. I wish I hadn't left you.
Ava, I don't blame you for walking out on me. I deserved that, and if anything, it will only make me more determined not to drink. Knowing I could lose you is enough of a motivation, trust me.
I'll never walk away from you again.
Never, I affirm.
He smiles lightly.
I hope you don't, because I'd be finished.
I mirror his smile and lay my cheek on his chest, letting him surround me in his warmth and comfort. I open my eyes and it's still dark. I'm vaguely aware of the bed vibrating under me, and I'm wet. It takes me a few moments, but when awareness finally hits me, it really hits me hard. I scramble over to flick the lamp on, and the light slams into my eyes like gravel. I squint to gain focus and find Jesse sitting up in bed, rocking back and forth with his knees clenched to his chest. Holy shit! He's drenched, and his pupils are huge black saucers. He looks petrified.
Jesse?
I speak quietly, not wanting to startle him. He doesn't respond. He just continues with the rocking, but then he starts mumbling.
I need you, he says quietly.
Jesse? I place my hand on his arm and shake him gently. He looks so scared.
Jesse! I need you. I need you. I need you.
He repeats the mantra over and over. I want to cry.
Jesse, please, I plead. Stop. I'm here.
I can't bear to see him like this. He's shaking uncontrollably, and sweat is pouring from his brow, his frown line by far the deepest I have ever seen it. I try to position myself in his line of sight, but he doesn't acknowledge me. He just carries on with the rocking and mumbling, staring straight through me. He's asleep.
I pull his legs down away from his body and climb onto his lap, wrapping my arms around his sodden back, holding him as tight as I can. I don't know if he is aware, but his arms come up and grip me, and his face buries deep into my neck. We sit like this forever, while I whisper in his ear, hoping he will recognize me and snap out of his night terror.
"Ava?" he mumbles in my neck after an age.
His voice is cracked and throaty. He's awake.
"Hey, I'm here."
I pull back and cup his face with both of my hands. His eyes search mine, looking for something. I'm not sure what.
"I'm so sorry."
"What are you sorry for?"
He's worrying me even more now. "For everything."
He falls back, taking me with him, so I'm lying across his wet chest. My body is soaking, but I don't care. My head rests on his chest, and I listen as his heart rate slows.
"Jesse?"
I say nervously, but he doesn't answer, so I lift my head to look at him and see he's fast asleep, looking peaceful.
What was that all about?
I lie on him for hours, my mind racing with reasons for him to be sorry. Bloody hell. Maybe I am reading too much into this. There's plenty for him to be sorry for. Lying to me. Deceiving me. Drink. His unreasonableness. His possessive streak. His neurotic behavior. Trampling my meeting today. His... I doze off, running through all of the reasons why Jesse could be sorry.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.